Welcome back, Ramblers. I'm Fatima, your makeup lover, cheeseman enthusiast, and tea seller.
And I am Ricardo, a fitness coach, motivational speaker, philanthropist, behavior analyst, anthropologist, executive chef, and much more. And this is?
Interrupted Rambling.
Interrupted Rambling.
Today's podcast is the one about pet peeves.
So Fatima, do you know what I hate?
Me.
Yes. No, I hate certain aspects of you. Your yep. style, your looks, your personality.
No, yeah, so do I. No, so do I. 100% agreeing. That's on period.
That's on period. Oh, we can agree on that. No, I hate my biggest pet peeve. I have many. Just wait and see. But my biggest pet peeve is late people. People who are not punctual. I hate how much it happens. Like, how often it happens, you know? It's something that it's like, I'm like, these people have jobs, right? Are they also late to their jobs? Or did they just choose to be late to some parts?
Yeah.
So you're one of the big offender, right?
According to you, yes.
Yes. Yeah. But this is surprising. You're not the biggest offender. There's a few people ahead of her.
But I'm catching up.
But she's catching up. Yeah, the more I hang out with her, the more she catches up. Because for me, the thing is, and I told Fatima multiple times, I don't care what time of day when we meet up, just tell me a time and I'll be there at that time, you know?
Yeah.
You don't have to, like, tell me, let's meet at 5 and when you really want to meet at 7 o'clock. You know, I'm fine with meeting at 7 o'clock. Just tell me a time and I'm Gucci, you know? Like, for example, if I have, when times were normal, you know, and I would go out to have breakfast with a friend. And they would be like, oh yeah, let's meet at 11, you know? I'm there at 11.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, if they're not here until like 12:30, it's like boo-boo the fool here, you know, me waiting. And sometimes in some restaurants, they don't let you sit down until like your whole party's here, you know? And that's what I mean, like when people are late in that sense. But I think the biggest thing with people that are late, it's like they think that their time is more valuable than mine or other person, you know, another person. And it's one of those things where like, no, like, everybody's time is valuable, you know, like, whatever you choose to manage, how you choose to manage your time, that's on you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you can't handle, you know, having an appointment, a work appointment, having a dinner with a friend, having to take your dog out for a walk, if you can't handle that, that's on you, you know? Like, if you can't be on time for that, that's on you. Why should I have to suffer? So, for me, I think it's a lot of selfishness, and it's like, I think it's similar to like how you deal with alcoholics. Your whole dynamic changes. It's like, like with an alcoholic, you have to like be worried of, is the party going to have alcohol? You know, you have to be, like, oh, this person maybe might not want to come to this, you know, if we have all these different vices here. And yeah, it's the same thing with like a person that's late. You have to manage around them. It's like everybody else is fine going up, having an appointment, having a dinner reservation at 6 o'clock, but you know that this person is always late. So do you tell them the same time, you know, and are stuck there waiting for them to come? Or do you say, oh, the reservation's at 5 o'clock, you know, so that they might come in at 6 o'clock and be technically on time? So it's like you have to manage to them, and this is something that you shouldn't have to do. It's like this is like an extra step that it's like, if everybody, you know, time is there for a reason, you know, it keeps it in check. You know, it's a non-arbitrary thing, you know, like your watch is the same as my watch, right? It should be.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So you should be there at 7 if I'm there at 7, right?
Yep.
So yeah, for me, I think it's one of my biggest pet peeves, and it's like there's so many people that do it, and it's so annoying. I don't know, I just feel like it's so selfish, so conceited, because like if a lot of times, and I know you're part of this also, the people that are late blame somebody else for their lateness. Right? Am I lying? Did I lie?
I saw you
clap. I was about to clap, but I'm trying to be more aware of our headphone listeners, because, you know, like, dramatic changes in audio can be triggering. But, right? Some people, like, people that are late, like, they blame somebody else. Like, oh, it's because my husband made me late. Oh, it's because my kids made me late. Get your stuff together. If you're going to be on time, maybe it means having your kids shower 30 minutes beforehand, you know? If this is something that constantly happens, like, and you still haven't learned how to manage those roadblocks,
mm-hmm.
you're doing something wrong, you know?
Yeah.
Get your shit together. Like, everybody has different things, you know? Everybody has different responsibilities.
Mm.
Everybody functions around those responsibilities. Like I mentioned at the beginning, if you have a job, you're going to be there on time, right? If not, like, you would get fired, hopefully. Hopefully. Now you know, if I'm your boss, you're going to get fired if you're late. But, you know, that's what I mean. And the biggest thing for me, for people that are constantly late, is that they are such hypocrites when it comes to, like, if you are ever late and they're the ones stuck waiting, oh my God, they become the biggest babies ever. And I have an example of Fatima doing this. She can make me wait as long as she wants. She can make me wait multiple times. But one time we had a guest who was running late. And this guest is known for running late. Like I said, it's a pattern. So, like, we both knew, you know. And it's and it was like, Fatima was over it. She was over it. And it's funny because it was like, it was like, oh my God, like, Fatima, now you know how I feel every single time that you make me wait. And she was waiting, like, what, an hour when I wait so many more times? And this
lies,
is the thing.
No.
And this is the thing. Fatima goes to sleep, like, around 2 a.m., 3 a.m. in the morning. And it was 10 p.m. And she was like, if this person doesn't show up in 5 minutes, I'm going back to bed. I'm going to bed. I'm like, this bitch doesn't even fall asleep at 10 o'clock in the night.
I was tired.
What a coincidence. So that's what I mean. Like, when you ever are on, when those people that are late, they're on the opposite, they're on the other person's shoes, mm-hmm. they start bitching about it. They hold it against you. So it's like, remember that one time that you were late? Yeah, but you always tell on me that I'm late. You know, they're gonna hold it over you for eternity. That one time that it was the opposite.
Have I done that to you?
No, by no
people. Not that bad. He makes it seem like
No. I'm just showing examples because Fatima is here and she's my punching bag.
Literally.
No, because, like, you guys know her by now, you know? And it's one of those things where, like, that's the example I can show. But anyways, so that's my biggest one.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is bad listeners. Fatima's a good listener, though, I think. Sometimes. Wait, never mind. Because sometimes you're like... No, because sometimes I'm like, Fatima, are you there? And she's like looking out into the distance. I'm like, Fatima, are you there? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, cool. And, like, for example, we would do assignments and you would be like the feedback person. right?
That one, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's different because it was school.
Okay.
We were over that shit.
No, but for the most part, she's a good listener. But that's what I mean. Like, when people are bad listeners, it's a big thing for me. It's like, we're having a conversation. And I'm talking more when it's a conversation between two people.
Yeah.
Because I can understand, like, if it's a group setting and there's multiple people talking and it's like, you are...
It's harder.
Yeah, you're in and out of the conversation. You might be having a side conversation with somebody else.
Right.
So you didn't hear the big conversation that the group was having. But I mean more like when it's like two people and it's like you're having a conversation and they're not like paying attention to you. I'm like, would you rather be somewhere else, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you're here, we're having a conversation, right? Like, do you
just
understand?
Just say you don't want to talk to me and leave. Like, I'm completely fine.
I was walking with someone at Wawa Park. I remember this. And it was funny because, like, we were just walking and talking. And I was gonna say, like, a story. And I do this often. I don't know if you noticed, but I'm like, did I tell you this already? Like, because, like, I can't keep track of what stories I've told to somebody. So I told this person, I'm like, did I tell you this already? And they're like, yeah, you told me already. And I like, the way they said it, it was annoying me. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, if I told you the story, what was the story about? And they're like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, okay.
So how can you say exactly. You said it if you don't know what it was about?
Exactly, if you didn't know what the story was about. So it became so awkward. You know, it was like the rest of the walk, because we were walking to my car. So I'm no longer friends with this person, you know. But it was like the walk to the car was like, okay, if you don't want to talk, you know, and you basically stop me on my tracks from talking, I'm not going to talk anymore. You know, like, I'm not going to be the only one pulling this conversation, getting this. Because, like, for some people, it's like pulling teeth. You know, like, you have to, like, get a conversation out of them. Like, no, I don't want that, you know. And I think that has to do with being a bad listener. Because if you're a good listener, I can talk to you and, like, we have an engaging conversation because you know, like, where the conversation is going, you know? So that's what I mean when it's, like, if somebody is, like, a bad talker. And that experience was, like, shocking to me because I'm like, this bitch just, like, really, like, stopped me from saying, like, having a conversation with them. And then they, like, they didn't contribute anything else. And it was awkward walk back.
What were they doing?
It was just awkward back. Like a walk back. So to
she
my
was
car.
Even on, or they? I don't know if it's. I don't know who that person is. No. I just assumed it was a she, but they were on their phone, or they were just like
for the rest of the walk. You mean?
Yeah, or like, what were they doing? Something else.
We were listening to music. And for the rest of the walk, it was just listening to music and maybe commenting on the music, like, oh, I like this song, or like,
cool,
or like singing along to. But I was like, I'm over this conversation. You know, like, I'm no longer initiating the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no longer engaging with this person in that conversation. I'm like, I'm over it. And it was like a long time coming, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're like this was the final straw, in the sense that, like, it just made it extremely awkward. I was like, what the fuck? You know, like, okay, if you don't want to talk, like, talk.
On that one, whole listening part, mm-hmm. I can agree that, like, there's some stuff on my end that, for me, it's like, I'll be like, I get it, you don't want to talk, or I'm done. Like, you're not receiving what mm-hmm. I'm trying to give. And sometimes mm-hmm. it can be like, so for example, like, it can be like a tip or or feedback or like a advice. No?
Yeah.
And
You're asking them for advice, and then
no, if I'm giving advice.
Oh, okay, right? Okay.
So I'd be like, oh, like, you know, try to avoid doing this or blah, blah. And then they'd be like, well, I never said I was going to do that. And I'm like, I'm just shocked.
This is a suggestion.
Yeah. And I'm just like, and usually I respond with, well, I never said you were going to do that. It's just, and it's just an example. Like, I would give an example mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, well, I'm not going to do that. And I'm like, I've never said you were, but I'm trying to...
You're engaging in the conversation.
Right, and I'm trying to give an example for, like, the advice I'm trying to give. Mm-hmm. And they would straight up be like, oh, well, I'm not going to do that. Oh, well, oh, that's not me. I'm not, and I'm like, I get annoyed, and I'm just like...
You no longer want to engage, right?
I no longer, and so then what I do is I just go, okay, you know what? I think I need to go do something, and I just leave. Mm-hmm. I'll go do something, mm-hmm. and I'm like... Like, I'm not gonna continue this where it's not gonna get anywhere. And mm-hmm. you're gonna get offended for something that I never even said you were gonna do. Mm-hmm. Like, you're getting triggered, sweetie. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know why you're getting triggered, but for some reason, and I'm just like, got it.
This is not a topic that we're gonna talk anymore.
Regardless, I'm just like, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna waste my time. I'm literally not gonna waste my time into trying to, like, give you something that could be useful, mm-hmm. and you're just gonna... You're looking at it... Because
it's not a malicious intent.
No. You. And you're looking at it in a different perspective of, like you feel like you're being attacked or for some reason. Like, and I'm like, if the shoe fits, sweetie, then put it on. Like, right? I don't know. But I'm going to leave this conversation by, okay. Oh, I need to go Peace do something out. Else. I'll say something like, oh, you know what? I need to go do this. And I'll just walk away. Like, yeah. I don't care how you feel because... Mm-hmm.
Like, you didn't care how I feel.
Right. And I'm just like, whatever. It is what it is. I don't got time for this. I'm going to move. Vámonos.
Yeah. On to the next. Comunidad de Marcos. Next. Anyways. Next pet peeve.
Yes.
No, but I... yeah. So I'm glad that you kind of understood what I was saying. Mm-hmm. because I felt like sometimes it's tricky to explain myself. It's funny because like I have a podcast. We have a podcast, and like mm-hmm. I feel like I struggle a lot with my words. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm better at writing what I think. Mm-hmm. Then I'm not saying I'm a good writer by any means, but I struggle sometimes to get my
all of your thoughts.
Yeah, like what I have in my head.
In a nice,
not in a nice, because I don't want to mean like sound politically correct. More that in the
no, but it makes sense like you word it cohesive. Right, where yes. like the other person can get it and understand. Be like, I understand what you.
Yes, yeah, yes, exactly that. But yeah. Another one of my pet peeves is people that play the victim. So this is like, for example. Every single relationship they have, and it doesn't have to be romantic, but like relationship as in friends, you know, relationship as in roommates, but it's like any relationship they have, all the negative aspects correspond to the other part. So it's like, oh, all my roommates are crazy. All my roommates are, you know, they're out to get me, you know, like maybe look inwards and maybe you're the problem, you right. know? Or like, oh, if they have like romantic relationships and it's like, oh, this person is crazy. He cheated on me. Oh, this person is crazy. He was not being engaging enough with me. Or like this person was like when they start pointing every single negative and they don't take any accountability for themselves. That's like for me, that's a red flag. That's what they call it, right?
Yeah.
Red flag where it's like this person is never gonna take responsibility for their actions. It's like the universe is out against them. You know, like they're the center of the universe. I'm the center of my universe. You're the center of your universe.
But you want everyone else to be like, oh, Ricky.
No, not really, because I don't even... No.
I'm just
But kidding. Like, I mean, like, have some self-awareness, you know? Yeah. Like, look into yourself, because this is the biggest thing with me. Like, I know I have a lot of negatives. Like, I know, you know, mm-hmm. I know my character and my personality can be off-putting sometimes. But at least I know of it, you know? There's some people that...
And you accept it, like you're like, yeah, I have it. And there's people who just be like, no, that's not me. He did this or they did this.
Yeah.
And you're like putting in a reason of why they did what mm-hmm. they did to you, even though you never mentioned what you may have done to them or the things that you constantly do. And you're like, no. It's not me. That's
what I'm saying. That's exactly what I mean. Like lacking that self introspection where it's like, what part of, what factor that I contribute to this problem, you know, looking at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And some people don't do that, you know, and like for me, like it's so annoying to be around with those people because it's very draining. It's like you start to wonder how are they gonna see our relationship, you know?
What they might tell to other people.
Yeah,
and or it's because I think like they just also look at the negative stuff and not the positive, and maybe because they just want pity from other people, or because like, oh yeah, like this bad thing happened, people would, and what are other people's first reaction? Oh, I'm sorry for that. Oh, mm-hmm. that really sucks, or this and that, and they get what attention, and that people mm-hmm. just want that. And I guess to do so, oh, I need to just think all the negative stuff that's happened.
Make yourself look like the victim.
Right. And I hate that too.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Yeah, it's annoying. And it's one of those things where like all that negativity, it's like you're the one harboring that. It's a lot of times where those people that are like, I hate drama, and they're always in drama.
In drama. And it's because they started.
Yeah, they're a factor.
For some reason, it includes that person into that drama.
The time. So, like, I really dislike those people. So, is that considered pet peeve or just something I hate? Something I hate?
I think maybe both. Because obviously all the pet peeves, you hate them.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mm-hmm. guess it's both. Mm-hmm. But, mm-hmm. no, yeah, I completely understand. And I think I find it, like, I agree. But, like, it's one of these, like, I think you eventually find in people that pet peeve in particular.
You might not see it at the beginning, but like once you like are around them often and you're like, I had a friend. Oh my God. So this sounds like I break friendships really easily. I don't, you know, like, do I? No, I don't.
Well, I mean, no. I feel like.
Because they say like friends are here for a season and a reason. I've heard of that before. Yeah. You know, like friendships are not forever. You know, sometimes you're friends with this person only in high school. You know, sometimes you're only friends with this person in college. Or, you know, for a short period of time, mm-hmm. for a long period of time, and then you stop being friends. So, one of these friends that I had in high school, she was one of those people that no matter what positive thing happened in her life, she still found a negative. You know what I mean? Oh my God. So, like, for example, she got accepted to her to the college that she wanted to. Mm-hmm. And then for some reason, she found a negative. And it wasn't not even relating to that. It was like imagine she got the news of getting accepted to her college and it was something to celebrate. But then she was like, no, my uncle was really mean to me. I hate him. You know, like,
so I'm not going to go.
Yeah, like something petty like that, you know? So it became one of those things where, like, every single time I would talk to her, and we would talk often, it would be something that, like, I would constantly just hear her troubles.
Yeah.
I would just hear what went wrong in her life that week.
So it's just, like, negative conversations, and you're just like, man, I just want to talk about something happy.
Yes.
Or, like, yeah.
And it was something where I'm like, why did that little factor ruin your whole weekend? And they would always say, like, oh, because, you know, like, I couldn't, you know, like, exaggerating that factor, you know? And this is the thing. And this is where I accept where I did wrong, you know? But the final nail in that coffin, in that relationship, was that, like I said, I was already, and this is the funniest thing ever, because I was already considering not being friends with him. But it was one of the things where, like, how do I phrase it, you know? Do I ghost them? At this time, this is, like, almost 10 years ago now. It's, like, ghosting wasn't really a thing, you know?
Yeah.
Or the concept wasn't really around. But I'm like, do I just stop responding to their texts or calls, you know? I was already contemplating it. But what broke the relationship was that maybe they already saw that signs, but their aunt died. An aunt that wasn't even close to them, you know?
Yeah.
And they texted me one day. They're like, my aunt just died. I mean, my feelings. I don't want to talk to anybody. So I took it literal. I was like, okay, she just informed me. I'm not going to talk to her right now. You know, she needs her space.
Yeah.
And then literally, like, not even a day later, I think it was the same day, she's like, I can't believe you didn't text me anything. My aunt just died. I don't want to be friends with you anymore. and I'm like, and like I said, I already had like the idea of not being friends with her.
So you took this as an opportunity.
So, yeah. So I didn't respond. And I just, you know, like, said, okay, friendship over, you know. I was thinking about saying, it was like, I didn't want to be friends with you anymore anyways, you know. But, like, that's petty.
Yeah.
And it also seems like I made it up. Because she said
it first.
Yeah, because she said it first. She broke up with me before I broke up with her, you know? Kind of like that. But this is where I said, I accept that it was not the best tactic, you know? Like, I could have said, I'm so sorry for your loss, you know? Like, whenever you want to talk, let's talk, you know? But I literally took it as she didn't want to talk at all. So I just didn't respond. So,
well, it's just like, I get it, because it's like one of the things, like, okay, the person is grieving, like, and they literally said, I'm like, okay, you're grieving. Like,
but I know I could have said something, you know, I know I could have said something, but in the end of the day, that relationship was for me already, like, had run its course.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, I wasn't.
It wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah, it wasn't going anywhere positive, because it was always negative, 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 negative. She had a boyfriend that, like, treated her horribly. And then, like, it's one of those things where, like, you give advice, kind of like how you were saying, you were giving advice, and then they would never, like, take it. And they would, like, say, I'm never going back to him again. And then a month later, they're back together, you know? Like, so I was getting frustrated with those kind of situations.
It was getting repetitive.
Yeah, it was getting repetitive. Yeah. Like I said, super negative. So I was fine with cutting the conversation. And we were very close, you know? Like, she was one of those people that, like, actually met my family. And she convivió con mi familia, you know? But it was just, and now, like, I don't want to sound cold-hearted, but, like, I don't necessarily miss her. Like, we did have a lot of fun. She was fun to a certain degree, you know? And maybe in the future it's one of those things where, like, we might be friends again, you know? In the future, my 10-year anniversary and reunion, right? 10-year reunion of high school is coming up next year. She might be there if I go, and if everything's fine and I go, I might bump into her, because I have another friend that's still friends with her, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, there's still, like, a little link of communication. But it's, like, I would say, like, I'm open to that relationship coming back again, you know?
Yeah.
But it's not, like, something I, like, crave and miss, you know?
Right.
But that's the thing for me, the victim blaming. Another one of my pet peeves is, passive parenting. So, you know, that kind of parenting where it's like, for example, I work at a restaurant, once again, It's like you said, I feel like I mentioned that all the time. But it's like, I work at a restaurant, and it's like a family comes in to dine, and they have a small kid, you know? And the kid, of course, is not going to be, like, super focused on... There's some kids that are very well behaved, and they're eating, you know, like, sitting down. They're not screaming, they're not crying, whatever. But there's other kids on the other side of the spectrum where there's, like...
Running around, yeah, and, running, like, yelling, or... Yeah, like, making...
On their phone with, like, the volume off, the way up, you know, like, crying, throwing food on the floor.
Yeah.
All that stuff. But the worst is, like, when the kid is, like, literally running around and it's not sitting at the table. And it's, like, I'm running, carrying plates, you know, with food, dirty plates back, drinks, you know, and the parents are not doing anything. That's what I mean by passive parenting, where they're, like, literally just sitting down and letting their kid run havoc all around.
Ignoring or being ignoring, like, yeah. Jenny, have a seat. Come on. Uh-huh. There's people. Have a seat, Jenny, please. Just
no, it's, like, down. Get up. Grab your
and
kid
do it yourself.
And sit them down. You know, that's kind of what I mean. So that's one of my pet peeves. Mm-hmm. Another one is, like, if a kid is throwing a
tantrum.
Yeah, temper tantrum.
Tantrum.
Temper, and then you finish it.
Yeah.
Temper.
Tantrum.
Yes. That's another thing. It's like.
But what kind of temper tantrum? Because I've seen that parents let. Like, if they're at their store, right, and the parents, like, you're not getting that toy, and they, like, all hell breaks loose, and they're just, like, on the floor yelling or yelling at the mom and, like, you know, like...
Screaming,
crying, and, like, tugging on her and, like, all of this stuff. And the parent, like, walks out. Obviously, they talk, like, stop. Because they don't want to make... The parent doesn't also want to make a scene, so they're, like, with a firm voice, they're, like... Stop it, or blah, blah, blah.
So they're letting the temper tantrum, like, continue and, like, them get over it.
And then, right? And then if it doesn't work, like, they'll leave and the child is there. Like, you mean like that? Because I think that is, like, the parents trying to teach the kid a lesson.
No, no,
that's what my mom did with me, though.
You're a bad bitch.
I'm just saying. My mom said that was, like, the first time and only time I did it. Because she
threw a temper tantrum in public?
Yeah.
For what?
My mom said that every time I went to a store, I always wanted to get something from the store. Like
a toy?
Or a toy? Candy? Anything. I don't know.
Oh, really?
And my mom said
you
would
go to Home Goods and you wanted
a
couch. I'm an interior decorator. Mom, cutting out on your dreams.
Right? No, so my mom said that I threw myself on the floor and my mom was like, oh no, you're not going to do this to me. Mm-hmm. My mom said she left. And because of that, like, I got scared. Mm-hmm. And mom said that was the first time and the last time you never even asked anything else for any store. Like,
so you stopped the temper...
The tantrum?
Tantrums?
And, like, asking...
And asking for
something. For something from the store.
Oh, two birds, one stone?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, like, is that okay? Or, like...
No, I definitely agree with that. I think because that is, like, the parent didn't walk away. That wasn't their first... reaction, you know, that wasn't their first thing they tried. They probably tried to, like, say, no, we're not buying you a toy, you already have many toys.
Yeah,
I already bought you something today. They probably said something along those lines. They probably said, if you don't stop crying, you're not gonna get dessert for dinner, whatever that is.
Yeah,
so it was steps, you know, you went
the
up
process.
Yeah, the process. And then they saw that you were crying on the ground, jalándote los pelos, screaming at the top of your lungs like somebody was beating you, and that's when they probably walked away.
Right.
So I agree with that. I that's not something I have a problem with. What I would have a problem is if the kid is screaming, throwing the temper tantrum, and the mom is like, calm down, like, you know, like, with that passive
voice. And
then
they, like, later actually buy the toy, so the
they
can actually just...
Well, this is the thing, because if the kid is having a temper...
tantrum
in public, it means definitely, I think it means that they have had a temper
tantrum
at home and they got away with it.
Right.
They got what they wanted, you know. They were screaming, crying for, like, their favorite toy to take away from their brother, and they got that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if that temper
tantrum
it's not allowed at home, it's not gonna happen in the public. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like a cycle that has already been in place.
Right.
So that's what I mean by passive parenting. When they are not taking an active force in like teaching their kids what is right and wrong, how they should behave in public, how they shouldn't, you know. Mm-hmm. That's what I have an issue with.
Okay.
So your mom leaving you and crying, props to your mom.
Yes.
Yes, Mama Fatima. What is your mama saying? Socorro. Ya, socorro.
No, but
work, like, socorro.
That's it. But, like, because I know that there's some parenting that, like, the parents, like, don't believe in, like, physical harm, mm-hmm. like spanking, stuff like that. But even then, I feel like sometimes they're just like, no, John. Like, they're super, like, passive. Mm-hmm. Instead of having, like, a firm voice and mm-hmm. be like, no, you're not going to get mm-hmm. that. Or, no, whatever it mm-hmm. is, right? So, I think those two, like, that especially that, like, no, sweetie, mm-hmm. calm down. Like, no, I think it's, like, the firm voice.
Yes.
Like, you're not yelling at your kid. You're just like, no. Like,
you have the boundaries already set. And they know yeah. that if you talk that way, it means this.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I was going to say, when I mean, like, active parenting, I don't mean, like, spanking your kid, okay. hitting them, you know, grabbing them by the shirt and, like, pulling them, like, all crazy. No, I mean, because I was talking to you about this recently. Mm-hmm. I've had a little bit of a change of heart or change of mind in the terms of whether I'm for physical punishment for kids, you know, mm-hmm. or physical discipline for kids. Because, like, for example, I grew up with spankings, and I think that those things, they definitely affected me because everything affects you, you know, right. no matter yeah. what, growing yeah. up. But I don't think it affected me negatively as much as it affects other people, you know? So, and like I said, it's one of those things where, like, it's individualistic to everyone, you know? Mm-hmm. Everybody has different reactions to different things. So, but I recently have seen it from the other side where I'm like, I don't know if I ever had kids, you know, would be for, like, physically disciplining my kid, you know, and, like, giving him beatings, you know, spankings. Because I don't know, I feel like it's one of those things where, like, I've heard this from one of my teachers, like, the first relationship a kid has is with their parents, you know? Mm-hmm. A lot of your beliefs, a lot of your behavior is basically formed by that relationship that you right. have with your parents and your family. So it's like, if the parent is the safety net, the safe space for this kid, and they hit a kid and they say it's for your own good, you know, like, I'm hitting you for your own good, I'm hitting you because you don't behave, you know, like, they're creating this dynamic where hitting somebody because they love you is acceptable. So mm-hmm. when they have, when they grow up and they have a romantic relationship, it can even be between friends, you know? But if they have, like, a romantic relationship and their spouse, partner is hitting them, it's harder for them to separate those two because it's like, well, my mom loved me, my dad loved me, and they hit me. And that was okay, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think they're more willing to accept that from a romantic partner, like I said, in the future. So that's why I see it as being a negative, because, like, I don't never want to be in that situation. I'll never want to be on the receiving end or the other end, you know?
Yeah.
The one doing it also.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
So that's what I'm like, my mind has changed a little bit, because I'm not saying, like, an occasional tap on the hand, smack on the head, you know, it's not warranted, mm-hmm. but, like, an actual beating, I don't know. Because I feel like you can get the same result by talking to them.
Oh, I agree, because I work at a school setting mm-hmm. with kids, and I do one-on-ones, and obviously when the kid, like, misbehaves or anything, it's
you can't hit them.
Well, no, it's more of that talking, but it's not even yelling either or raising your voice. It's like, because just like you stated earlier, every kid is different, and they take, depending on the discipline, differently. There's kids with, like, one hit, it's like, that's it, like, oh, that changed the life, and, like, I'm never doing that again.
Mm-hmm.
There's some kids that, like, even, like, as much as you hit them, they don't care, and I
they
think
laugh,
that they laugh,
they hit you back,
or they just become depressed, and mm-hmm. they're just like, oh, I don't care, whatever, mm-hmm. because some kind of trauma's happening at home, mm-hmm. so that's not gonna work, so, like, why continue doing it? you know, and like for like you said, like talking to them and sometimes being sweet or, you know, like hugging them and literally taking your time to explain the situation. Sometimes that's why kids are always like, why? Why? Mm-hmm. Why? And you're like, oh, just, and then like,
you get frustrated and you're like, just do it because I said so.
Yeah. And like, no, like tell them why. So then they are able to understand the concept of why something is happening.
I think it's a lot of like discipline from your part that a lot of people lack, because like you said, it is, it does take more time and effort to talk things through with your child than to hit them. You know, like if you want them to stop, for example, if they're jumping on the bed and you want them to stop, you might get a quicker response if you smack them, you know?
Right.
And the problem is quote unquote solved, which we know is not solved. But if you talk to them and you do it a different way, it takes a lot more time. And like people are busy and they're like, okay, you know, like maybe the mom is on the call, you know, and they don't have time to talk it out. But it's like, it does, I feel like it's like a discipline thing you have to be constantly aware of what you're doing. Because I think, for example, I don't know if you've seen those videos online on like Instagram and TikTok where it's like a kid, which is like 2-3 years old, they don't want to eat their food. And then the parent brings a stuffed animal.
Oh,
and then,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they feed it
they
to
mimic
the,
they mimic what the kid is doing.
With the stuffed animal, and the stuffed animal says no, that they don't want to eat either. And then the parent hits the animal, the stuffed animal.
And the kid gets like traumatized. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like you're threatening the kid.
Yeah.
And this is what's going to happen. If
and
you
you're, you're creating this like dynamic where it's like the kid is going to be almost in a way fearful of you. And like I said, if you're their safety net, the kid shouldn't be that fearful of you, you know? They should respect you, but they shouldn't fear you, I think.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Like, I agree with that, like...
Because you were talking about also how it's so much different, your experience, than your husband's experience.
Yes. So, with me, like you said, we grew up with the chancla, the seatbelt, you know? Like, this is how you learn not to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
For him, for my husband, he was, he can count in one hand the times that he's been spanked, right? But for him, when we talk about having kids, always the discipline, how would you discipline your kids or whatever, he's more the talking type. And I'm like, well, I grew up like this, and I'm fine. I'm more than fine. I'm perfect. I'm just kidding. It's like, I learned how to respect others, you know? And he's like, oh, well, you can talk. But then it's like the negatives and like the stuff that I learned because of like a chanclazo, he doesn't know. Or like it's him or, you know, his sibling. And like I see like when they do something, I'm like, oh, that would have been like a slap in the mouth right there. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, no, like that's unacceptable. Like I wouldn't be alive if I did that, you know? But again, it's like, maybe because their parents didn't teach them that. They could have taught it by talking and explaining, which is totally fine. But for me, I don't know, maybe it's unfortunate or unfortunate. I learned, but I guess the harder way, by physical abuse.
And it's not universal, because some people might be like, oh, if I talk that way to my mom, I would get a spanking or a beating. It's like, and they still do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like they didn't learn from it. You learned from it.
Oh, yeah.
And you didn't do it. But some people didn't learn from it, and they still do it.
But this is, I think, also, and then we might be going to another realm right now, but it's also, like, our culture.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And, like, we're Mexican, okay? We're, you know, Latinos. And for us, it's like, don't speak to your mom back, or don't speak back to your the elderly, right? And my mom would always say, if the sky is blue and I say it's red, it is red. And back then I'm just like, but that is so dumb, but okay. But basically she's trying to say, I'm always right. Don't contradict me. If the sky is blue and I say it's red, it's red. Yeah. And I'm just like, but then this is stuff again that when we grew up, and I think you mentioned it, like it's a cycle. So maybe their parents,
that's how they
were harsher on them. So they learn, so they're not as harsh to us. Definitely. But then, so when we have kids, we're not going to be that harsh. We're like, I don't want my kid to go through that.
Yeah.
But then again, it's like, if my parents didn't teach me in a talking way, like a nice talking, how am I gonna do it? So it's one of those things where you need, it's a perspective where you need to think about it more and be like, okay, when I have kids, I'm gonna try to instead of the first thing to do is like hitting,
yeah,
is talking.
Which is funny because like you mentioned, it's like when I talk to my parents, like, oh, you have no idea how their parents, you know, my grandparents, they beat them like horribly apparently.
My mom would say like she would bleed.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That's how bad it was.
But that's what I'm saying. So like that just goes to show that violence goes with violence, you know?
Right.
The cycle continues because I feel like, I'm not saying it's universal, but I feel like it's less likely for a person that was never hit when they were a child that when they grow up and they have children that they would hit their child. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like that's like that shows that there's a cycle. It might be different because our cycle is like going lower and lower. You know, like we, their parents make
and
them
their
bleed.
Parents.
Yeah, no, their parents made like, them bleed. Our parents maybe gave us bruises. We might just
give
them a sting.
No, we're gonna. Just forever long life trauma.
Right? But like that, like that's
but it's not funny. It's yeah, this
it's
is
a cycle. So like yeah. Everything relates to each other. You yeah. know, there's a thing that everything's connected.
Right.
We're connected. But another one.
Another one.
I have another pet peeve.
What is it?
Is, and this is more like, kind of like little almost in a way.
Uh-huh.
I hate, like, I don't know if it's a pet peeve or something I hate, but it's like, I just really dislike it. It makes my skin crawl. It makes me feel weird. My teeth, especially when somebody's eating and their spoon utensil touches their teeth and I hear it. Oh, it makes my, like, my teeth feel weird. Even talking about it right now, my teeth feel weird. Mm-hmm. I hate that. And with, like, the spoon or whatever
it's
touches
the
bowl.
Okay, yeah, the ooh. Noise.
Yeah, so that's my pet peeve.
Wow.
But anyways, those are my pet peeves.
No, yeah, they were great.
They were great. But let's take a break, and we'll be back and talk about whatever Fatima hates. Not important, but yeah. Break. And we're back again. So Fatima, I talked about all this stuff I hate.
Yeah.
Did I mention that I hate late people?
Yes.
People that are late? I didn't mention that?
Particularly okay. me, yeah.
Okay, I didn't,
first
no.
thing you said, yeah, me.
I remember, now it's all coming back to me. I remember saying that you were not the worst offender.
No, but I made the top 5.
You made the top 5.
Make working my way up.
No. If you make your way up, honey.
If you ain't number 1, you're last, gone. Right? Or something like that. No. What's the saying when you're like, if you're not number 1, you're like,
if you're not number 1, you're number none?
Yeah, I think so. Something or you're like last. Yeah. Yeah, if you're not number 1, you're last. Something
yeah.
like that.
If you're not hey. Number 1, why are you even playing?
Right. So yeah. that's me right there.
But anyways, what are your...
I'm competitive.
Competitive.
I'm just kidding.
What are you... You are competitive. What are your pet peeves? What do you hate?
This is something my mom, like, taught me. So, like, I grew up with it. And, like, when I hear other people say it, it cringes me. And I'm like, uh-huh. How can you say that? Like, wow.
It cringes you?
It yeah.
makes me cringe.
It makes me cringe. Cringes you? I
did that's that? What you said. You said, it cringes me. I'm like, okay.
It cringes me?
That's what you said.
Is that not proper?
No. It makes me cringe.
It
no?
makes me cringe?
Yeah.
It cringes
yeah.
me? I don't know. What else? Potatoes, potatoes.
Stop moving.
No, tomatoes, tomatoes.
Potatoes, potatoes. Anyways.
Jinx, you always so okay. The words la and el in front of a name.
This is Spanish.
For Spanish, anyone. Yes. I'm not the best well-spoken Spanish speaker, but this is something that like my mom taught me not to do, and I just have it, and I can't undo.
Uh-huh.
So having la or el in front of a person's name, uh-huh. like El Ricardo, sounds so weird.
Yeah.
Because
how would it be in English? It would be the Ricardo.
The Ricardo. Like, it's a, you use that to like, for objects.
Yes.
So
I could be a sex object if you want. Not for you.
No.
For other people.
Well, everyone knows you're single, so. Okay.
No, coronavirus is getting real.
But it's like la pelota. So, you know, El Ricardo.
Why are you describing me again? Oh, I can laugh for myself.
But that is
that's
just
my biggest quality. I can laugh at myself.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. He loves to talk about himself too. like I said, the world revolves around
my Ricardo. World revolves around me. Yes. Yes.
No one else. No one else matters.
No
one else matters.
No, nothing really matters. Nothing really matters. What song is that?
Nothing else matters?
Nothing really matters.
I don't know.
No, okay, go. But anyways.
Ooh, child. yeah, that, I just can't.
You
I,
just can't.
I can't just do that. Can't. I can't. And Sergio would do it, and I'm like, oh, nope.
No, so you corrected him?
Oh, yeah.
You never corrected me.
No. Because
you're biting I'm your trying, lips.
Yeah.
Your tongue.
Yeah, like, I just, I can't. I'm working on, like, see? Not correcting people uh-huh. because it's like, their parents let them. It's not my fault.
It's not my fault they were raised wrong.
It's not my fault.
How about the formal and informal? Are you also... Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. But I don't correct. It's for me. Like, me in the back of my head, I'm like,
you're just judging.
I judge, yeah.
I judge from the... It's gonna be that meme. What's it called? In the corner. It's like, they don't know I'm judging.
Yeah.
They don't know that I know it's not supposed to be La Fatima.
Yeah. That's how it is. Like, I'm just like, oh.
But explain
like,
it to
like, I
people.
Hear it. So there's formal and informal. The formal one is people you don't know or elderly. So mm-hmm. it's always usted. Mm-hmm. The informal one is, like, best buds. Your parents. Mm-hmm. But I know some people, like, the child is always supposed to speak to their parents with the formal way. I've met people like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I understand it, but I feel weird when I... Because, like, this is the thing, like... And some people might hate it, you know, but I call my parents their first name.
Yeah, I know that, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Eh? Why? Because, I don't know, because sometimes I feel like I'm the parent.
So they should call you daddy?
No. Other people can call me that.
If you want to be sent, send a direct DM.
I do have a couple of gray hairs.
Anyways. But yeah, so like for me, it's always usted. And unless they say, háblame de tú, mm-hmm. like the informal, then I would still probably say usted because it's just...
Yeah.
Especially like if someone like I don't know them is the first time and they just say, háblame de tú, and I'm like, okay. Like it takes me...
Yeah, it takes some time.
But then people, like, actually get offended. Like, háblame de tú.
Yeah, because...
Or if you start talking with tú, like, informal, they'd be like, uh-uh. Like, no, you need to be formal with me.
Yeah, so it's not, like, a universal thing. Mm-hmm. It's something that, like, it depends on some
start
situations.
Start off, like, you start off formal.
For safe, yeah, start formal.
And then unless they say otherwise, then you can go ahead. Uh-huh. And then, like, another one, but this is, like, more, like, I don't mind, but it's just for me, like, I cannot
find
myself saying these two words, which is ama and apa, like, to my parents. My mom would be like, tú no eres el rancho, and it sucks because it, like...
I think it's, like, a negative, like, condescending thing.
Yes.
Like, it's belittling people from rancho.
Right.
If that's the way they talk, that's the way they talk.
Right, but then again, I'm literally not from el rancho, uh-huh. so... Should I not? I don't know. But for me, it's always been mama.
I'm not from the rancho and I say mama and papa.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what mama always told me. So I always say mama, papa. That's it. But like, if you say, I'm going to be like, tú no eres del rancho, Ricardo. You shouldn't be saying that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not. I'm be like, that's you. That's how you
grew up. You do you.
Yeah. You do you, boo-boo. Yeah. You do you.
Okay, I agree.
Yeah. Another one, it's like when it's a crowded place and everyone's like one-way traffic and you're walking and then the person in front of you just stops and like
out of nowhere
they stop, so then like you're like oh, like
what the fuck.
Yeah, and then people behind you stop and you're like, what the fuck, and they're all getting pissy about it, and I'm just like, well, this bitch right here let me fuck her up real quick. But I hate that. I really
does that happen often?
It did, yeah, when I would go to Disneyland.
Oh, okay.
And I hated it. And it's like, we have fast passes, sweetheart. We gotta be there.
You're on a mission.
Yeah, right? We're like, everything. And they just stop. Like, if you need to stop, scooch to the side. Don't just stay there because you have...
You know what's horrible?
What?
When you're, because right now, during the pandemic, when you're out shopping and people do that, with their shopping carts and everything.
Yeah. Move to the side.
If you're like still looking for your freaking Diet Coke, move to the side and let people pass, you know? Especially now that we have to like keep our distance, but yeah.
Yeah, but I hate that. I make a fuss about it too.
Yeah, you're like,
oh yeah, a bitchy. I just go, I like, be like, oh my gosh.
So rude.
I'd be like, move, don't just stop there, and I just keep walking.
And then they're like, what'd you say? I'm like, oh, I'm telling my husband, move.
Nah, bitch, I'd be like, I didn't say nothing, but you should move, and I just walk
away. Really? You want to start?
Yeah, trouble? I would even, like, bump into them.
Really?
Be like, yeah.
Damn.
Okay, one, no, because, like, they stop, so I stop, and I'm just like, are you guys gonna, like, I don't, I'm there for, like, a good time. And if they don't move, then I'm gonna be pissy about it, and I'm gonna bump into them and move.
Damn.
Yeah.
I remember saying that you could fight people in a podcast, and you said, no, me never. You just reinforced that. I told you, I knew it.
If you stop in front of me, I will cut you. I'm just kidding.
Oh my god.
No, I'll probably make a snark remark.
Yeah, and then walk away.
Because I, like I said, I have fast pass. I gotta be on that on time. But true. Anyways, another one, and this is like more of a recent one because I don't think I've ever met someone who does this. Because, again, I don't really... if we go out eat, like, we don't...
It's not me, order, right?
No, it's not you. Well, I don't know, because I don't think we've... Anyways, it's we, slurping.
Slurping.
So, like, with soup. And I get it. There's cultures, you know, I'm well aware that slurping means chef's kiss, and it's great, it's amazing, blah, blah, you know? But I am not part of that culture. So, I grew up with, do not slurp your food. Especially when you're using a spoon. That really irks me, because how many,
you're gonna get bloated.
Yeah, all that air. But I'm saying, like, imagine how many times that person is gonna slurp the rest of their soup. Mm-hmm. And the spoon is, like, a small spoon. So it's, like, you just hear slurp, and I'm just like, oh, no. I hate it. I don't, it grosses me out.
Grosses, yeah.
Like, might as well just grab your, I don't do this, because I was taught not to. Grab your bowl and just drink
the
it up.
Miss, what's it called? Etiquette princess over here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Pinky up when she drinks tea.
I do that. I'm just kidding. I don't. No, but I'm saying, like, but even then with a bowl, you're slurping it. Like, you don't slurp out of a cup. So why would you even slurp on, like, a spoon?
Ban slurpees. No more slurpees.
No, it's just a genuine question. Like, why would you slurp, like, a bowl or, like, your spoon, but not a cup?
Yeah, yeah, that doesn't make sense. I think it might be something that, like, you just almost in the way.
Are you scared that, like, your soup is gonna fall out of your spoon? I mean, you do have your bowl. Like, it's gonna catch it.
I don't know.
Does it taste better? Then slurp your drink. It'll probably taste better, too.
There's some people that do that. There's some people that go...
But I don't think they slurp. They just, like, they moved on that ASMR. That sounds so weird.
How about?
But no, like, but like I said, like, there's, like, someone told me, I don't know if it's true, but, like, when you're eating ramen, I believe ramen and pho, I think it's ramen. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you have to slurp the noodles to get, like, the taste of the broth.
Yeah, I heard that too.
And I'm like, okay. Cool. Like, I get it, but that's, like, more, I think,
when you're
cultural.
Eating, yeah. Not when you're eating sopa de fideo.
caldo de pollo, no. Like, sweetheart, like, don't, oh, no. Like, No,
not for you. Not for you. How about, like, when, because we're drinking Starbucks right now. Not sponsored, but if you want to. When you're drinking from a straw, and you're trying to get the last little bits.
Oh,
is that also annoying? Is that also a pet peeve? Because that kind of sounds like slurping to me. No? I'm gonna make you aware
of
it now. And now you're gonna
like, I'm aware of it, but, like, not as much as a bowl. No. And I'm like, but I'm like, but why?
How about, like, like, chewing with your mouth full? No, talking with your mouth full. Also, chewing with your mouth full, that's something that people don't like,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, like, they're open their mouth with their mouth and they're just chewing. No.
What?
I find it hard.
To do?
Like, talking with your mouth full?
No, I know, but
For me, because, like, when I do it, bitch. I'd be like Kim Kardashian eating the salad. You ever see that one?
No.
She's like, because she doesn't want to, like...
Oh, get her lipstick?
Her lipstick, she's like... Like, she opens a lot. No, but I'm saying, like, I find it hard. My mom always said, don't do that. Mm-hmm. She'd be like... ¿Estás hablando con la boca llena? And I'm like, no.
See, but this is one of the things. do you mind it if somebody else does it? Because I feel like that one's very common.
As long as I don't see the food, I'm cool. Like, go like this. But even then, I'm like, it's already, for me, it's already hard enough to talk with my mouth full. So I'm aware, like, people don't like to see food. So, like, if I'm talking, there's food. Like, I want to cover it. So I put my hand in front of my mouth. But even then, like, that'll still block some of the noise. So it's already hard enough to talk. So then you're putting something else. I don't know.
I don't mind it that much. I think because, like, a lot of people do it.
Yeah.
It would be nasty if it was, like, obnoxious, you know, and, like, you have food coming out of your mouth.
Oh, what about, like, when they're talking and they laugh?
Wait, what? No, like, you talk and laugh all the time.
No. When they're eating? When they have food in their mouth, and, like, you're trying to be discreet and, like, what? You know, trying to, like, not open your mouth, but then, like, you say something funny and you're like, ha!
You see all the food?
I don't know. So I just rather, like, prefer not to talk if I have food in my mouth. Mm-hmm. Or, I usually don't. I'll be like, let me finish it. Like,
sign it to them.
Yeah, I'll be like, hold on. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and then I'll proceed. But yeah.
Okay.
That's about it. And then, like, this last one, I think it's a big one for me. I'm just like, it's fake ass people. And when I mean fake ass people, I mean as in, like, when you're having a conversation about a certain topic and that person has zero clue, zero idea of what else to input into the conversation, and they're just there like, oh yeah, uh-huh, oh that's cool, yeah, like that, they're just doing little comments, and then if you say something, they'll, like, take something that you said and they will rephrase it and, like,
say it back.
And I hate that. One, if, like, most of the time I can catch, like, you have no idea what we're talking about, like, you have zero idea. But it's cool, like, you're there, I'm like, okay. But then when they, like, say something like, oh yeah, that's cool, wow, I can't believe that happened, or they'll rephrase something, I'm like, you seriously have no idea. Like, why are you continuing this conversation? Instead, say like, oh that's cool, but what is that? Or ask questions about it. Like, you don't have to, like, come and be like, I have no idea what you guys are talking about. No, you can be like, oh, like, hear things out. If you don't know what something is, be like, oh, what was that you said? Mm-hmm. And then that continues the conversation. You're in the conversation and you're learning. And most of the time, the people who know about that topic, they're going to be more than happy to talk to you and explain everything, because that is their niche.
Niche? I think it's niche.
Niche?
Yeah, you don't pronounce it yet, I think.
Fine, and that's their niche. And they'll be more than glad to, like, talk to you about it. But if they're just like, oh yeah, that's cool, and like, why, like, are you trying to seem
don't
cool
pretend yeah don't pretend
because you just want to fit in? Like,
for me, I think when you say fake people, the biggest thing that I, like, pops to mind. I feel like this is like a Ricardo
figures out
the English language.
Linguistics 101.
Something that pops in my head is, for fake people, is those people that, like, I think they're called yes men or yes people.
Mm-hmm.
Was like, you say something like, oh, I love Britney Spears, and they're like, oh yeah, me too, I love Britney Spears, where they don't really like Britney Spears.
They're probably like one song.
Yeah, one
but
song.
But they make it seem
yeah,
like
I love her too, you know, like, oh my god, yeah. Or like, I love this and that, you know, and they're like, yeah. And they agree with almost every single thing that you say, you know? Even if they don't have, like, a clear stance, even if they don't know what you're talking about, you know? They agree with you. That's kind of, like, what I mean with fake people. Mm-hmm. Or when, like, I think when they change their minds really quick. When they're swayed.
After how long? Like,
when they're instant? Swayed. Yeah, like, and I don't mean instant, like, 5 minutes. No, I mean more, like, You have a conversation with somebody, and then they're like, oh no, I believe this, and then they the next day they're like, oh no, I agree with you. Like, when they change their, like, do some research, do some, you know, like, actual internalized thinking, you know, and then how do you say it, and then change your mind, or like, talk things through. But if you just change your mind, or say that you changed your mind to please someone, that to me is fake. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because they want to, especially, like, I think especially, like, if you know that person,
yeah,
like, well, and then that person meets someone, and they're like, you know that they don't like something, like, oh yeah, I love that, but you're just like, why? Oh yeah.
Like, for example, if they've been single for a long time, and every single time they get a new boyfriend or new girlfriend, they change their personalities. Mm-hmm. You know, so, like, Parks and Rec has an episode on this, but it's, like, this girl was moving out, and she had a box for every single ex-boyfriend she had. So, like, one ex-boyfriend liked rock climbing. So she was really into rock climbing, you know, when she was with that boyfriend. I have a person in real life. This guy, he dated a vegan, and then he became vegan, you know? And then he broke up with her and went with another girl. And this girl was really into metal music, for example. And then he was really into metal music, you know? But it's like, that's what I mean by fake, because you're like, you're not being true to yourself. It's one thing to give things a chance.
Yeah.
But it's another thing when it's like, your identity completely changes because you're with another person, you know?
Yeah. And I get it. Sometimes you may really it, but continue it. Don't just be like, oh, this relationship's over. I'm over with this music. Yeah. Then it makes you seem even worse. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not genuine, you know? And like, you really can't have like a good conversation with that person because you're always wondering, like, is this really how they think, you know? Is this really something they like? Or they just like,
because then you question your relationship with that person.
Yeah, you're like, is this person really like, does this person really enjoy when we go out and dance, for example? Mm-hmm. You know, that's a funny example, but yeah. Is that's kind of like what I mean with fake people.
Got it. And then like, this is something we talked about, and we both had a different idea or meaning behind this topic. Toxic positivity. Mm-hmm. So what I get from that is like, when you know you are something, like something is wrong, or you know, for example, when you know that you're fat, okay, you're like blatantly be like, I'm fat, which I am, right? And then be like, no, you're not. And they're like, you're beautiful. Right. And I'm just like, but didn't say I was ugly.
I said I was fat.
That's it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, for example, with Sergio, I'm like, oh, like, I tell him all the time, I'm fat. He goes, no, you're not. And I'm like, no, then what am I? He goes, chubby. And I'm like, that is exactly the same.
Yeah, that's sugarcoating. Like, don't sugarcoat me.
No.
Like, I know I'm cute. I know I can be cuter if I lose weight, you know? The fact that I'm fat, it's not like telling you, like, do a magic wand and, like, be my godmother and change me to skinny. Or
I mean, if you can, do it. Right? I ain't stopping you.
but don't take pity on me. Like, I'm not saying it for you to, like, be like, oh, no, pobrecito, or to ignore the fact and say something else. No, I'm saying it because it's a fact and it's something that can change, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I understand what you
mean. But then again, like, it's... then something right now just popped up. It's like, then what was the point of you saying you're fat? Like, if, for example, if I said I'm fat, and then
you're
playing
devil's advocate to your own.
it just comes up. Like, for example, if I would have said like, oh, I'm fat, and you're like, yeah, you are, I'd be like, you would have mentioned, be like, bitch, you're supposed to support me, you know?
No.
But it's like, what would you say?
So if you were to say you're fat, like, I would say I'm fat too. No, realistically, it would be that.
Yeah.
I'm fat too. Let's go on a hike. That would be one of the options. You know, let's go exercise. Or another option would be genuinely what you said. Let's go eat.
Which one do you want?
Like,
I'm here for you, both of them.
Like, and we've had these conversations where it was like, okay, let's do something about it, you know? So that would be the most thing. But if it was somebody that was skinny, that's kind of like what you mean, right? If it was somebody that can't say the, oh, I'm fat too. I don't know. I feel like the appropriate response would be like, oh, okay. You know, like,
I think it's just our conversation. Like, oh, so, like, are you gonna, like, do you want to this way? Or, like, this and that. Like, start a conversation and, like, maybe. Because I've had this with Sergio, but have I done anything? No, I haven't. No, I want to, I do. Yeah. But it's just, like, it's hard.
Yeah.
But we already talked about this topic. But anyways, but that's what I'm trying to say with, like, toxic positivity. Like, oh, no, you're fine. You look great. You do this. But, like, you know that person could look, like.
Clearly sees it.
Better or like, you know, if they wanted you to lose the weight, like, it is also possible. Yeah.
And it's not just with weight, it's like with different things, you know.
Yeah.
For me, that's what you mean by toxic positivity. For me, toxic positivity is ignoring the negative aspects of like a situation, you know? Yeah. So, like, for example, if there's a natural disaster, a tsunami, a hurricane, or whatever, you know, and a lot of people died, and then people automatically go with, like, no, but look at
the bright side.
Yeah, look at the bright side, you know, exactly.
You're like, alive.
You're alive. Yeah. Some people are alive, you know, like, there's people getting help. Like, I'm not saying that there's no positives to a negative side. I'm just saying that if you automatically dismiss the negative,
yeah,
it's not realistic and it's not reality.
Yeah.
So I think the part of reality and the part of that helps us grow is seeing both sides, seeing the negative, seeing the positive, having a balance and moving forward and being better, you know? But if you choose to ignore the negative, you can't really grow from that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So for one example for me would be like if a person is like dying of cancer, you know, and they're having a shitty time thrill, you know, like the chemotherapy is not working, their hair is already falling out, you know, like some people might be like, oh, you look so beautiful, bald, you know, like focus on the positive, whatever, this and that. But allow that person that's suffering through that to acknowledge their emotions, you know, it is a shitty situation.
Right.
They're allowed to feel sad. They're allowed to feel hopeless sometimes, as they are allowed to feel hopeful, and as they're allowed to feel beautiful. But allow them to have those feelings and those reactions.
Yeah, I get. Yeah, because then later on, like maybe you could possibly potentially be putting them into some kind of stress or idea of like when you say, oh, you're gonna be fine, everything's gonna be fine, and they're like, oh, like that person who's saying that is thinking all these positive, like, you're gonna come out of this, you're gonna win, and the person's like, oh, I need to, like, there's no way that I could die, and they're leaving that possibility. But then I also think, like, what if that person who's giving that quote-unquote positivity, they're probably not ready, and they're just saying that for themselves, mm-hmm. instead
for them
of
to feel better.
Yeah, because sometimes a person who's already like who's ill, they know the outcomes, mm-hmm. and like if
the possibility, the,
yeah, and like right, yeah. And they're like, they can pause, most of them maybe,
so
are
selfish.
Ready to mm-hmm. be like, okay, well, if it happens, it happens, I'll be mm-hmm. fine, blah, blah, blah. But the other person is like, they probably want to hold on to, like, no, you're don't think yeah. like that. Don't, like, you know, they'll probably say, don't think like that. No, don't think like that. You're gonna make it. You're gonna be fine. Everything's gonna be okay. But it's like, no, mm-hmm. you need to work on yourself.
Yeah, on you accepting.
Because if I leave, I leave.
Yeah, I'm gone.
I'm
peace
gone.
Out, A-Town.
Yeah, you know? So I just think it's like, sometimes maybe those positive people, like, they just don't want to accept reality.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the times, like, that's my biggest issue with toxic positivity, if that's what it is, because we're still kind of like, if it is this, if it's not that.
Right.
But for me, is that when people live in a non-realistic world, because mm-hmm. we all can have different viewpoints of life, but we have to be realistic, you know? Like yeah. for example, people that say, race, I don't see color, you know, like, that's bullshit to me. They say that to be, like, positive and to be, like, I don't treat anybody differently. But no, everybody sees color.
Yeah.
Even colorblind people see color because they see different shades, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, stop lying to yourself. Let's be realistic. Let's, you know, like, you might, a better term would be, I don't want to discriminate people. And I say want to because we inevitably discriminate people whether we like it or not, you
yeah.
know? But for me, another example would be if, like, a person died, and you're comforting the family members, and you, for example, a wife lost her husband, and you're comforting her, and you're like, I know how you feel, I'm sorry for your loss. You're saying, I know how you feel, once again, making it about you know?
Yeah.
But a better thing to say would be, I'm so sorry for your loss, I'll be here whenever you need me, you know?
Yeah.
I'll be here, like, I'll let you grieve, you know, if you ever need anything, just let me. You know, and say this situation sucks, because the situation sucks, you know, a person died, that's the reality of it, you know, they're gonna live without that person now, so let that person grieve at their own pace, let them acknowledge all the emotions, you know, the grieving process, the fulfilling process, you know, whatever it is, but
yeah.
for me, it's being realistic, you know,
mm-hmm.
and having that thing, because, like, for me, toxic positivity kind of lives with the fakeness, you know, like, no one is 100% negative all the time, and nobody's 100% positive all the time. Right. So they're putting up an act, and it's not real. Then that's my biggest issue with it.
Right. No, I agree. Those are some good points, honestly. And, like, again, like, we both still, like, I get where you're coming from, mm-hmm. and you get where I'm coming from, but how we get that, how we
which
determine
might be, what it is. Which might be a combination of the two. Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah. But, those are our pet peeves. Some of them. But if you guys have different pet peeves, or you guys have any pet peeves, if your pet peeve is people talking about pet peeves, let us know. Where can they let us know?
Yeah, you guys could go ahead and follow us on Instagram, which is at Interrupted Rambling. And we also have a Twitter, and that one is Interrupted Ram.
Yes.
Ricky's and my Instagram handle are under our main podcast Instagram account.
Yeah, everywhere. They're linked everywhere on Spotify, Apple. Ooh, we're on Apple Podcasts now. I said that last time wrongly. We're officially starting this second season. Everything should be on Apple Podcasts. If you can, follow us. I don't know how Apple Podcasts works. I think you can follow, because on Spotify, you can follow us. Mm-hmm. Rate us, please. That would help. You know, and be honest. If you don't like a certain part of the show or whatever, you know, say it. If you there's something that we can improve, let us know.
Yes.
Yeah, but like rate us anywhere, follow us wherever podcasts are available. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Well, this was Interrupted Rambling, and we'll see you
next time.
Bye. Yay!